So let's start with Amos. He says, I am not a prophet. I am not the son of a prophet. I am a shepherd and a dresser of sycamore trees. The fruit of the sycamore needs to be pierced a little bit in order for it to ripen. And so that's what he did. And he did it not in Israel, but in Judah. He comes from the southern kingdom, but God said, go up north to Israel and prophesy there. So, you know, usually when God says do something, people tend to do it, if not immediately, eventually. And he did. And the piece of scripture we have here is the third of three visions that we have in chapter 7. The first two are very briefly talked about. In one, God shows Amos locusts coming and eating all the food. And in the other one, again, there is this destruction happening. And in both of those cases, God says, Israel has not been holy, and I will destroy them. I will not forgive them. And in both cases, Amos, as the people's prophet, does what a prophet does. One of two things. He steps between God and the people and says, don't do that. We don't tend to think of prophets as doing that. We tend to think of them going for God to the people saying, stop it. But a really important function is this one, where the prophet says to God, don't do that. And God, in both cases, says, all right, I won't. But then we have this vision, God standing by a perfectly plumb wall and holding a plumb line and asking Amos if he knows what it is, because if you know what it is, you know what it's used for. And Amos does. It's a plumb line. And Amos knows that it's this weighted piece of string that can tell you if something is standing straight, if something is standing upright, if something is square, if it's right. It's a building tool, but not a tool just to build. It's a tool to build well, or even right. All right? It's not a hammer. You can hammer and make things out of a hammer, but they can be any which way. But with a plumb line, you can hammer and have it come out right. And so Amos says, yeah, I know a plumb line. Yeah, I know what it's for. And God says, I'm going to put a plumb line in the midst of my people, Israel. And it's going to show that they're off kilter. It's going to show that they're more like the Leaning Tower of Pisa than anything else. Certainly not like this wall before us. And because of that, tell them that Jeroboam, the king, and the people are going to be invaded and carried away. That's what he says. It's the prophet's way of saying to Israel or to the nation that the prophet goes to, stop it, because bad things are going to happen. Now, here's how Israel responds. Israel responds with the words of Azariah, was that it? Azariah. And Azariah says to the king, you got a problem. This Amos character, he's teaching and preaching and encouraging sedition. He's out there telling people that you're going to be destroyed. You're going to die by the sword. And he's doing this right in the center of our kingdom. And so Azariah goes to Amos and says, "You, stop it. You're preaching treason, sedition. You're disturbing the peace. You're being mean to the king. Don't do that. Go back home. Go to the southern kingdom." And that's when Amos says, I'm not a prophet. I'm not a son of a prophet. Because at this point, the kingdom had professional prophets. And in some cases, it was a position within the temple that was carried on from family members. I'm not a prophet. I'm not a son of a prophet, Amos says. I'm not one of your prophets. And that possessive word becomes important. Because if you noticed what Azariah said, he said, "Do not prophesy, preach, teach, proclaim these things in Bethel. This is God's sanctuary." No. It is the king's sanctuary. It's the king's temple. And that's always the problem when a government begins to sort of feel religious and holy. Eventually, they lose sight that it's God that's holy. And they lose sight that the temple is God's temple. And the priests are God's priests. And the sanctuary is God's sanctuary. And here, sure enough, it is the nation's temple. It is the king's chapel. All right? That's a good sign that they have wandered away from a true faith, a living faith, a feeding faith. They're looking to the king. So Amos says all of this, and the response is almost predictable. Don't do that. I want to say to you that plumb line idea is crucial. Just as last week I talked about how our nation needs to have some foundational claim or some foundational statement or some purpose or something that we can say, that's who we are. We are the place where the wretched masses come for peace. We are the place where liberty and justice is for all. We are the place where all people are created equal. And just as a nation, our nation needs those things and to remember those things, so do we as a people of faith. And we need to know what our plumb line is, because we can then consciously apply it to our life and to our living. Better than a lifeline, a plumb line tells us how to live. The golden rule is great. Your bulletins have other plumb lines from Scripture. There's three different bulletin fronts, if you hadn't noticed yet. Each one has a different set of three. Now, I just pick them because either they're classic plumb lines or I happen to like them in particular. And the Sermon on the Mount has two representatives out of those three different bulletin covers. And I do have a listing of all of them if someone has a particular interest. And in some ways, it doesn't matter what you have as a plumb line. What you have as a way of not just building a life, but building a life well. What you have in terms of a way of determining what's straight, what's upright, what's stable, what's not leaning over. It doesn't matter in part because none of them are going to be sufficient for all occasions. That's why we've got the whole Bible. And Jesus didn't say, here's the one thing you got to know. All the rest of it, you can forget. No. But having one that you look to consistently can allow you to build a life well. The golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So, you see somebody hungry. I mean, not just missed lunch, but hungry. Well, what would we want them to do if that was us? Well, we'd want them to give us food. And maybe more than what we do, how we do it. We would like to have that food without attitude. We would like to be given that food without any sense of judgment or condemnation or pity or anything else. Maybe even joyful. The golden rule works pretty well. This one is one of my favorite from Micah. Do justice, love, kindness, and walk humbly with God. Same sort of situation. Hungry person. All right, Mark, do justice. Well, let's find out why they're hungry. Is it because of an injustice? Let's get that fixed. Is it because they're working 40 hours a week and gosh golly, they're just simply not able to make enough money to live in Vermont? Well, that doesn't seem to be right. Do justice. What's that? Their landlord keeps upping their rent to an exorbitant amount but doesn't do any repairs. Do justice. Well, yes, good place to start, but love kindness. Give them some food. That's a kind thing to do. Love kindness. And as you're doing both of those, humbly walk with God. Remember that as a spiritual, as a faithful person, that's what we're doing. We're walking with God humbly. Because we kind of know that plumb line can only be used in the moment. Retrospectively, when we look back over our past actions and our previous lives and everything, oftentimes, that plumb line is going to suggest to us that things weren't exactly plumb. Maybe half a bubbled off plumb, but still off. Having that plumb line and having some way of judging what it is we're going to do will free us up immensely. It'll lighten our load because we won't have to constantly be thinking, what should I do? How should I do it? Having something that can be that plumb line and being conscious of it can make us conscious Christians. And so I highly recommend to you grabbing a plumb line and building a life well. Amen.